Welcome to If These Walls Could Talk, a short podcast about your connections to the built environment of Denver. I'm Sam Pike, your host. Moving to any city exposes you to new ideas, new people, and yes, new architecture and new concepts, like what is a swamp cooler anyway?
Yeah, and I remember when I moved here, I'd never heard the word swamp cooler.
Yeah, nobody has AC.
Either
here.
You have AC or you didn't. And yeah. you know, the people that don't have AC, the way that I grew up, you open all the windows at night and you close them first thing in the morning and draw the shades. And so I was a little confused with the swamp cooler situation and the fact that no one had flood insurance.
We chat with Elise and fondly recall the sense of wonder and mystery she felt while exploring Denver for the first time. Sensations that continue to today in the form of life in a nunnery and selling your house on Facebook to a total stranger.
My name is Elise Peterson, and I've lived here for, gosh, I guess on and off for about 12, 13 years.
Nice.
Yeah.
Where were you from originally?
So I grew up in Chicago and Michigan, but I was actually a travel nurse for about 5 years. So I kind of was all over before
totally.
That. I came to Denver 3 times before I stayed.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And tell me about your connection to the architecture of Denver. Is there something that stands out to you or a memory or?
I think a lot is the bungalow homes. I used to own a home up in Berkeley area, and I'd never seen that kind of architecture before in the U.S., the bungalow homes.
What do you love about these craftsman homes?
I just love that they're all brick. They're made so well. They have functional, most of them have functional floor plans. I find some of the new development now not very user-friendly, I guess you could say, and not really a plan for longevity of staying in that place, whereas kind of the old homes do have that.
Yeah, there's a welcomingness and a, almost like a coziness or something. I don't know. It just kind of flows well.
It does.
There's actually a fascinating history around a lot of the craftsman homes.
Really?
They used to be, you know, Sears?
Yeah.
They actually sold mail order homes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like that you were supposed to be able to build on your own without the use of a professional anything. Uh-huh. And it was supposed to take you, like, I think less than 3 months or something like that. But they would literally pre-cut every piece of wood for you and label it. And thousands of homes across the country are these craftsman mail order homes.
That's
it was like the big housing boom before the World War II baby boomer housing boom.
Nice.
So a lot of Denver homes are those. But you wouldn't know unless you like found these certain little markers for them. Part of your connection to these craftsman homes is very contemporary. What happened when you decided to sell your little bungalow?
Yeah, so I love that bungalow, but I definitely, me personally, I was just done living alone and done being a single female homeowner and wanted to kind of, you know, minimalize. And so I actually sold my house on Facebook on a handshake.
How did you even meet the buyer?
Yeah, so he was an acquaintance, but I literally posted a Facebook post. And he was the first one that answered it. And that night he came over and we shook hands and
what?
I gave him my keys.
That is only something that would happen in the 2010s. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
And then I put all of my belongings in a pod, went back to Florida to see my immediate family, and then I traveled that year.
No, wait. When did it become official? So it progressed beyond handshake to, like, him actually
2 weeks later, my stipulations were I need to be out within 2 weeks. Can we forego an inspection, and can you do the closing costs? And the answer was yes, yes, and yes.
Wow.
And we did work together. For example, I didn't end up cleaning my home the way I would have liked to have left it for him. So I gave him my grill.
Okay. So you guys met in the middle.
He let me know that packages were left at my door months later, and I retrieved them.
That is, I feel like that's the most chill home buying, home selling experience I've ever heard of.
It was great. Nobody thought it was going to go through, and I was like, it'll be fine. You just have to trust people.
That's like the first time you heard of somebody who dated from online dating.
Yes.
You're like, oh, that's not going to work.
I know.
And here we are, and everybody dates on online.
Yeah. And so then that year, I think that was the year I did like Ethiopia, Dubai, India, Rwanda. And then I remember on the plane coming back to the U.S. and loving my family in Florida, but knowing that I wanted to return to Denver, Colorado.
So you
traveled
the world, and Denver has your heart.
Yeah, it does.
Well, I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, but I'm excited. I just moved into an old nunnery. That's going to be an area. Yeah, an area that's going to be redone. And there's a co-housing nunnery and apartments and townhomes. And again, I definitely prefer to live in structures that are older.
Okay.
Even if they're updated.
Well, I'm so glad that you came to tell me about what makes this city special to you.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
If These Walls Could Talk is brought to you by Denver Architecture Foundation and the Denver Public Library. Editing by Josh Wright and Erica Prather, our portable cardboard recording booth was designed and built by Extra Vitamins. The Blair Caldwell African American Research Library hosted us this year. If you have questions or comments, please reach out. You can contact us by emailing hello@denverarchitecture.org. And I'm Sam Pike, your host. Thank you for listening.